see everyone this evening. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Amos. On Sunday, we looked at the significance of the Great Commission, and tonight we're going to look at the standard for the Great Commission. Hopefully, a very practical message, apply to every aspect of life. Amos chapter 7. And read two verses to begin with this evening. Amos 7, verses 7 and 8. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in preserving it for us up until this very day that we can have it and read it and study it and pattern our lives after it. And Father, I pray you bless it this evening as it goes forth. You work in every heart. Lord, you know the needs that are here. And though the message will be directed towards missions mainly, Father, you know, Father, if there's those here struggling with salvation, if they're not even struggling with it, they're just, they know they're lost and they're not willing to submit to you. Or maybe there's someone here that's just needs to be encouraged in an area that I won't even touch upon tonight, Father, but Lord, I know you can take your word and minister to them. And Father, I thank you for just the power of your word and the power of the gospel. Lord, I pray you would help us not to be distracted by the things around us. I pray that you would help the children be attentive. And when they're not attentive, help the adults to be attentive and not get distracted with children and babies being children and babies. Father, we thank you for them. We thank you for every child here, every infant here. I pray you bless their parents. I pray that you would give them wisdom and guidance as they train them for your honor and glory. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 It is good to see all the children here. Love seeing children. And whenever I'm preaching, I don't ever notice anything. My wife will say, well, did you notice this or that? And I didn't know there was a kid dragged out screaming, kicking, throwing things. I didn't notice it. So you won't bother me if, you know, sometimes we worry and don't want to distract the preacher. You won't distract me tonight. Tonight's message, how many here know what a plumb line is? Okay, there's one up here if you don't know what it is. This is a plumb line. I know some of you may not be able to see it. I can lift this thing up. This here is a plumb line. It's not used as much today as far as this particular type of plumb line. It's not used as much today as it used to be. It is, the concept's still used with every building. Usually, yeah, not in Alaska. But this building here, I can look around and tell, yeah, it was used, a plumb line was used, maybe not an actual plumb line, but what other tools try to mimic this? What do we call them? Okay, a level. Now we have laser levels, laser plumb bouncers are real nice. You just turn them on, unlock it, The plumb line is in there, laser's hooked to it, puts a line in the wall, vertical, horizontal, dot in the floor, dot in the ceiling. Very nice, a lot faster than using this. Not as accurate as this. Lasers are very accurate, but they're not as accurate as this is. But a lot faster. They are a lot faster. So here in our text, Amos sees this plumb line. Plumb line is a piece of something heavy on a string. If it's machined properly, the point of that, once it stops moving, will be pointing straight down. The line will be perfectly vertical, as long as it's not hitting something, caught on something. It will be perfectly straight up and down. Nothing will be more straight up and down than this will be once it stops moving. And it is it's perpendicular to the horizon. Look out, you can't really see the horizon here, but if you see the horizon is perpendicular to this plumb line. We use a level to mark some things that are perpendicular to the plumb line. If you use it up and down, we check to see if walls are plumb today. So plumb line is perpendicular to the horizon. It's directed to the center of gravity. And once it stops moving, that's going to be pointing right to the center of gravity of the Earth. They don't use this on the space station. It's absolutely useless up there. Why? Because there's not a center of gravity that's gonna provide what's necessary. So it needs the Earth, needs the gravity, and it is directed to the center of gravity, and it represents a standard of what is plumb. I was hoping to have a laser one that shot a line, because I was looking at this corner right here as I was sitting back there yesterday. I said, you know what, that corner doesn't look plumb to me. It might be. My eyes might be cross-eyed. So I was going to test it on that corner right there. Brother Jason probably, you weren't around when this was built. Brother Gene probably did that corner. Brother Lambert did that corner. Well, plumb line is represents a standard of what is plumb. Something may look straight up and down. Something may look plumb, but if it doesn't line up with the plumb line, it's not plumb. Okay, it's crooked. And a plumb line is a point of reference for measurements. Surveyors will use it. They might set their equipment over top of a mark on the ground, and they'll use a plumb line. They set their equipment right over top of the center of that, where then they can mark off property boundaries or elevations. And so it's used as a point of reference for measurements. Here in Amos' vision, we see this wall made by a plumb line, representing God's people, who were built at the first, straight and plumb, according to God's standard, in their constitution, both civil and in their worship. They were formed according to the good and righteous laws of God. They were built straight. And so here he's standing upon this wall made by a plumb line. He's standing upon it because he's getting ready to tear the thing down. Why? Because he's got this plumb line in his hand, and he's holding up to this wall, and it's not straight anymore. It's crooked, it's bulged out, maybe the center's sticking out further than it should be. Whatever it is, he's standing there ready, holding the rule of his word in his hand to test whether or not this wall is as it was first built. And he says, "Behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore." I remember growing up working with my father, working in a lot of different construction, different types of construction growing up. And one summer we were working on a very large apartment complex, condominium complex. We were replacing all the patios on the townhomes and all the balconies on the apartments. And there was one particular patio, as we were driving out, something always looked wrong. Something just wasn't right. And we would drive, as we're heading home every night, we'd drive by and we'd mention, something's weird there. My dad would say, "What's wrong with that?" And that was a different crew had done that than our crew. My dad was the over all of them, though. So he was concerned that everything was done right. And so eventually he said, "Okay, we're stopping. Grab the level." He said, "I'm not going to pass by this anymore." something's wrong. We need to find out what's wrong. So I had to go grab the level, go up there and figure out what's wrong. And when they started, some of the handrails off, they started on the wrong side of the line. Something very simple, but that put everything else off. But I used the plumb line, used the level, the plumb fixture on there to figure out what was wrong. Figure out what went wrong, where did it start off at. And this is the picture here that we have with Amos. We consider the building that we're meeting in this evening, it was a plumb line or that equivalent tool was used. And could this building have been built without it? Yes. As is witnessed by driving around Alaska. Buildings can still be built without it. If it's a very experienced builder, he says, I've got an eye, good eye, I've been building for 40 years, I've got a good eye, and he can build it, but even with a good eye, things still will be out of plumb. But he could do it. He could build a building. Would it have looked the same? Would this building have looked the same if he hadn't had used it? No. Wouldn't look the same. Some of these windows probably would just be stuck open. not usable. Some of these doors would not be usable. Even your drains are based on making sure drains aren't perpendicular to what's plumb, because it's not going to flow right. Maybe you've been on the roads where, or you'll see internet things, you know, cars rolling uphill. You'll put a car and it's rolling uphill. Well, it's not rolling uphill, it's just how everything looks. It looks to you like it's going uphill, but it's actually rolling downhill as it's supposed to. So our eyes can fool us many times. But this building would have kept the rain and snow off you for a time. But with it not being built correctly, eventually it would deteriorate a lot faster and it would be unusable a lot sooner than you would expect. As we consider in our own lives as Christians, as the Lord's churches, do we have a plumb line which we can build to? Do we have a plumb line that we can ask ourselves, do I line up with it? Obviously the answer is yes, we do. And you all know what the answer is. It's sitting on your lap. And we have the Word of God. The Word of God is our plumb line. The Word of God is the standard. We can ignore it. There's a lot of people today that are married or just got married. How many thousands of couples got married the same day that Jordan did? How many marriages start off the exact same time? Who knows? Hundreds probably around the world. Thousands on the same day. And those marriages are going forward. The vast majority of them not being built according to the plumb line. How long will they last? Some may last 3 or 4 days. Some may last 3 or 4 months. Some may last 3 or 4 decades. Some may last until the couple's dead, even though they were not built upon the Word of God. But we'd be able to look at that marriage and say, something's crooked. you will. In our own marriages, we can look at things and people can look at our marriages and say, something's crooked. Why would they say that? Because there's something in our marriage that we didn't build according to the Word of God. And we're not correcting it. We just pass by it and ignore it and say, I'll take care of that later. And we keep passing by it. But there's a standard that if we ignore it, things will not be as effective. Things will be crooked. As churches, we can do our missions programs not according to the standard. We can build things. We can build a missions program. We can send out missionaries not do things according to the standard. And things will work. Men will go out. The gospel will be preached. Souls will be saved if a proper gospel is being preached, but you look at it and you just say, and even those involved in those, even those missionaries and churches that are committed to those models that are unbiblical will tell you something's crooked. But they've committed their lives to it and they're not going to turn back. We consider some aspects of a plumb line. Those four things, that plumb line is, a plumb line is perpendicular to the horizon. A plumb line is directed to the center of gravity. A plumb line represents the standard of what is plumb, or what is perpendicular to the horizon. And a plumb line is a point of reference for measurements. We consider our plumb line this evening. Our plumb line, all those things apply. Our plumb line is perpendicular to the horizon. You can say, what are you talking about? Perpendicular to the horizon, what are you saying? Well, consider tonight man's ideas, man's philosophies, man's religions, our traditions that we want to follow. Those are all horizontal. Those are things that men do on their own. Those are things that men make up. Those are things that men connive and build on their own. And they're all perpendicular to what's right. The horizon and this line, and this thing just won't stop moving. Maybe it's because this floor is, I'm shaking this floor too much. But once that thing is still, the horizon line and that plumb line can't get any further apart. Neither one can move without them getting closer. If you have four 90-degree angles, if you move in any direction, one of those, two of those angles are going to be going down to 89, 88, and going to be going small, getting closer together. When this is still, you can't get further apart. You can't get those lines any further away from each other without getting closer. And man's ideas and God's ideas are just that. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse number 12, that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Man thinks, I can do things this way, and it's going to give me life, and they get to the end of that, and it's death. The very opposite of what they wanted, the very opposite of what they thought. They thought it was going to be life, good things. No, it's just destruction. It's death. In Proverbs 12, verse 15, it says that the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. In Proverbs 30, it says that there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. God's word and man's thoughts, man's ideas, man's ways, man's traditions, they don't fit together. They are opposites. Can't get any further apart than that. God says in Isaiah 55 that my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And we can apply that to every aspect of life. When it comes to morality, when it comes to religion, when it comes to family values, even conservative values. My wife was talking about this last night. What so many Christians turn to as a conservative news source. What's a conservative news source? That everyone, so many Christians consider that that's the conservative station. And it's an F word, okay? Fox, okay? And she was bringing up, she says, I clicked on one thing and she went through one thing after another for four or five things. Every single one of them, couple posing nude. Next thing, nudity. 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 She used to go from page to page to page to page to page, and it was just all nudity. But that's conservative news. Well, it's really kind of opposite of God's word, as is all media, okay? Family values. What the world considers family values is not God's idea of family values. Morality, choice. God's definition of choice and the world's definition of choice. We really agree that the world's ideas about every aspect of life is off. But surely not an independent Baptist church. I mean, surely our ideas, our thoughts are better. Well, if they're man's ideas, they're not from the Word of God, they're not any better. It's still man's thoughts, still man's traditions. It may be cleaner. It may look better. It may have more of a look of integrity involved with it. But it's not out of the Word of God. If it's not according to the standard, it's still man's ideas. And independent Baptists are so full of man's traditions. It is full of it. In every aspect, not just in missions, but in every aspect of church work, there's so much tradition. Now, is all tradition bad? You guys, I mean, throughout this week, there's tradition that you guys follow in the song and throughout the service. We didn't start off coming in and singing an invitational hymn and praying. We didn't start coming in with the very first thing is the preaching. What do? Well, there was some piano playing, and there was some fellowship, and then there was a call to grab up your hymnals, and there was a hymn, and then sitting down, and then announcements, and then a hymn, and then the message. Well, that was the same thing yesterday. You guys are just full of tradition, right? Well, not all tradition is bad, okay? That's not unscriptural, but there is a lot of tradition that we practice that is unscriptural. So the question needs to be, well, how do I line up with the plumb line? That has to be our question. With everything that we do, how do I line up with the plumb line? And we'll see that's what so many places in the Bible that question is asked. What saith the Scripture? And that question is asked so many times throughout the Scriptures, or that thought, well, what does the Bible say about it? Paul does it so much. We'll look at some of those a little bit later. So our plumb line is perpendicular to the horizon. Man's ideas do not line up with God's word. So we need to be careful as we go about doing our church work. Our question needs to be, well, we're doing this. We're going to send out a man. We're going to send out some men. We're going to send out a team of women. And someone say, well, hold on. We don't do that. Well, why? Well, because I can turn to this and I can go to the plumb line, this is why. If the answer is, well, because Brother Humphrey, bless God, Brother Humphrey taught us that, he's not the plumb line. Well, the preacher says this. Well, that's fine, but can you go beyond that and say, well, but when the preacher was talking, he showed us out of Matthew, he showed us out of Timothy, he went to this passage and he shows from the Bible that's why we don't do something. So that's the standard. So when you're going about doing missions work, the question always needs to be asked, well, why are we doing this? Why are we doing it this way? Is it just tradition that's fine to do, just like having two hymns and offering and another hymn and preaching? Or is it tradition that violates principles of God's word? I need to be asking that question. So our plumb line, the Word of God, is perpendicular to the horizon. Secondly, our plumb line is controlled by a center of gravity. What is that? Just as this plumb line is directed to the center of gravity, without the Earth, this is just, you know, up on the space station, you know, it's just floating around, not doing anything, doing something, getting away. There's a lot of people today that use the Word of God. Will base what they do upon the Word of God. You'll have those knocking on your doors, and they'll be holding a Bible. They'll be holding a King James Bible, along with their Book of Mormon and Pearl of Great Price. But they'll be holding a King James Bible, or they'll be holding a New World Translation. And they'll turn their Bible and say that what we believe is out of the Bible. Well, their standard, what they're using is like this. Why? Because what's the center of gravity? I use that term. What's the center of gravity for the Word of God? Ephesians 6, verse number 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the what? Sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is that center of gravity. 2 Peter 1, verse 21, it says that the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. If we're contradicting the Spirit of God, if we are grieving the Spirit of God, if we're living contrary to how the Spirit of God would have us to live, or living contrary to the Word of God, we should not expect that we're going to be able to go to the Word of God and get right answers that are going to be applied properly. Because it's like, you know, the Brother Lambert, he loves Jell-O. I guess I heard he loves Jell-O, right, brother? He just loves Jell-O. And you hear that term, try and nail Jell-O to a wall, or nail Jell-O to a tree. If anyone's ever tried that, it doesn't work. Why? Because there's this mush. When we have the Word of God and we're not following the Spirit of God, we don't have the Holy Spirit there to guide our understanding. And 1 John 2, verse 20 says, ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Verse number 27 says that the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things that is truth and is no lie, and even as it is, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Jesus said that the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And John 15, verse 26 says that the Comforter, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He is the Spirit of truth. If we don't have the Spirit, if we're not following the Spirit, if we're not submitted to the Spirit, we can't expect it to use the plumb line. We cannot expect it to be directing us in the right way if we neglect the Holy Spirit. Why is it that the cults will take the Word of God and use it to prove all their positions, or allow their positions? Because they're taking it out of context, there's no Spirit of God there. Why is it that Southern Baptists for years, maybe it's still the case now, Southern Baptists for years was the greatest source of converts to Mormonism, was from out of Southern Baptists? Why was that? Well, they both had the Word of God. But with both, with many, this is the plumb line. It's just floating around. Because so much tradition is held by Southern Baptists, so much tradition is held to, man's opinions are held to, and they don't have a standard. The Holy Spirit guides our understanding. It should be understandable that if we choose to disregard or ignore the Word of God, that we're going to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, and we'll not see the work of God through our churches as we see in the New Testament. Why don't we see God doing things like he does in the New Testament? Well, because we're not living according to the Word of God as they were doing in the New Testament. We're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. So our plumb line has a center of gravity. It's controlled by a center of gravity. Number three, our plumb line represents the standard. The Word of God is what determines what is right and what is wrong. It is what determines what is crooked. And Isaiah 28, verse 17 says, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. Come on, a plumb line. God says, I'm going to lay judgment to the line. He says, when I judge you, it's going to be according to a standard. And we'll lay judgment up against that. We're going to be judged according to a standard. In Romans 2, verse 2, Paul says, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. In John 17, 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We have the standard of God's word. It's what's right. It's what's wrong. You know, commentators are not the plumb line. You ever read through the commentaries on, read through Acts, commentaries on Acts, and try to form a missions plan? Commentators are not the plumb line. Parents aren't the plumb line. You know, if it was up to me, if it was up to my mother, there's a church in Owensboro, Kentucky that needs a pastor. And boy, I need to be praying about going to Owensboro, Kentucky. To Greater Vision Baptist Church, I think is the name of it. Along with about 6,000 other churches within about a 2-mile radius. Independent Baptist churches. It was up to her when she lived in Michigan, in Irons, Michigan, out in the middle of nowhere. Irons needed a scriptural church, and they did. But my mother was not the plumb line. Her parents are the plumb line. But many times they'll try to tell you where the Lord needs churches, where the Lord is leading you. Children are not the plumb line. You know, a lot of times people decide where they go to church, where they want to minister based on what their kids want. Children aren't the plumb line. As I said earlier, pastors aren't the plumb line. In Hebrews 13, verse 7, it says that we are to remember them that had the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. We are to follow pastoral leadership. But pastors aren't the plumb line. If they're not teaching according to the word of God, they're not to be followed. College professors aren't the plumb line. You know, there's a lot of teachers, administrators from what's that place in Oklahoma? Heartland. Or West Coast. Or Crown. Or Fairhaven and Ambassador Baptist and all these other colleges that are all around the nation. And those young men that are sent there, grievously sent there, are told by many what God's will is for them. And those churches that send them lose most of their young men. The media is not the plumb line. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad politicians aren't the plumb line? Over where Brother Noah is at, the politicians there, those in government there, probably have a pretty good idea of how they want you to do mission work over there. Is that correct? You ever ask them, how should we do mission work? If God called his church to send a team over into North Korea, the government over there has an idea of how you should do mission work. Is it going to line up with the plumb line? Nope. So we can't go over there and do things our way. Well, no, you just do things God's way. And he may have a prison ministry for you. And maybe he only wants you to go in there for your life to be short and ineffective in the world's eyes, and in a 5-minute time that you're with a guard that's going to torture you, that guard gets converted to Christ and changes that whole country. And that's, God only wanted you to go in there for that 1 5-minute time period. We're being tortured by this one guard that's only sees you once in the 4 or 5 months that you're in captivity before you get shipped out. It was just that for that 1 5-minute time section that God wanted you there. But while you're there, you're doing things according to the plumb line. The church is not the plumb line. Turn over to 1 Timothy 3. Verse number 15, many of you know this passage of Scripture by heart. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15 says, If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now the truth is the plumb line. The truth is the word of God. It does not say there that the church is the truth. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. This here is on a pillar. This is holding forth the plumb line. And it's also grounded. If didn't have that on the bottom, if I just had this pole here, put it on the ground, it's going to fall over. So here there's a pillar, and it's grounded. Both things are here. Both are holding forth the plumb line. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The church has set forth the truth, like this is setting it forth, putting it out there, so it can be used as a standard. It also stabilizes the truth, that without that there, it'd fall over. And there's a lot of men out there preaching that are lone rangers. They've got their, Mike McDowell evangelistic ministries. They're out there doing their own thing. They might have a home church, might have a sending church, but they're just on their own. And what do you see with everyone that I've ever looked at? Every single one of those men, even they're independent Baptists, every single one of them, there's something quirky. There's something crooked. Why? Because they're lone rangers. They don't have something there to hold forth the truth and to stabilize it. The church is to ensure the protection of sound doctrine. In Jude verse 3 and 4, it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." The church's responsibility is the protection of sound doctrine. When you send out men, it's your responsibility that sound doctrine is protected. It's your responsibility. Absolutely. He says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." The church has a responsibility to make sure that takes place. The church is to ensure the proclamation of sound doctrine. In 1 Timothy 1, verses 3 and 4, he says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went unto Macedonia, that thou mightest charge them that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do." He said, make sure that sound doctrine is proclaimed. In chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 of 1 Timothy, he says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." That's the church's responsibility. That's part of being the pillar and ground of the truth. When you sent Brother Lambert down to Nanilchik, it was your responsibility to make sure that he was preaching sound doctrine, proclaiming sound doctrine, practicing sound doctrine. It was your responsibility. And if he's crooked today, if he's all quirky, not in the quirky way that we know Brother Lambert, but in doctrine, in practice, if that was true, a great part of that responsibility would fall on Black Road. In Galatians 2, verses 4 and 5, Paul says that, "And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you." They were not going to allow the practice of sound doctrine, the teaching of sound doctrine, false doctrine. They were not going to allow the teaching of and practice of false doctrine. But there are a lot of lone rangers, and their teaching is not stable. They're like a boat adrift in the sea without an anchor to keep it in place. But the church's responsibility is to be the pillar and ground of the truth, but the church is not the truth. But it's to hold it forth. Tradition is not the plumb line. There's a lot of tradition and practice in the realm of Baptist missions. And is tradition always wrong? No. Not necessarily. Sometimes it is. So be very careful. Many times we look down on someone. How many churches look down on Brother Morrison for pulling up anchor and leaving New York before the job was done, not knowing that the Lord of the harvest was moving him? I remember I was supposed to preach a missions conference in Missouri. I was in the Springfield area and talking with a pastor. We had the schedule laid out. He hadn't bought the tickets yet. He had some questions for me. And she was asking about a building. He wanted us to, what's the traditional Baptist way of starting a church. I'm going to start. I feel God's called me to Fairbanks. So I'm going to go to Fairbanks. I'm going to look around. I'm going to find a building. I'm going to secure that building. Okay, I can get in the building on May 1st. Okay, or let's see. This is we're past that. July 1st. I can get in July 1st. I got to get some flyers out. That First Baptist Church of Fairbanks is starting on July 1st. And come out and see us. And so I get a bunch of flyers made out, and I pass them all out and put balloons out and open the doors up and have candy ready, all this stuff. And on July 1st, First Baptist Church of Fairbanks has started with myself and my wife and my child. Is that biblical missions? What is a church? Is a body of baptized believers? I need to get some. I need to get some baptized believers first. I need to go to Fairbanks first, and I need to evangelize, and maybe I'll evangelize there for 10 years, and finally get 3 or 4 people that come to know Christ. And so I have a group, and I'm meeting with them on a weekly basis, but not a church yet. But this pastor, he's like, you don't have a building, you don't have a sign out. You're not doing all these. You didn't check all the boxes in the traditional Baptist method. Okay, we're going to cancel the missions conference, or cancel you. Contrary got someone else because I didn't check off all the tradition boxes for him. So I'm glad I didn't waste the trip. Tradition is not the plumb line. Experience is not the plumb line. But brother, it works so well. That works so well here in North Pole when Black Road started. So we're just going to do the same thing over and over again. Well, maybe what worked well was a perfectly fine thing to do, but that's not what needs to be done over in the Middle East. Or in Anchorage. Or in Seattle. Or in Eastern Washington, or in Northern Idaho, Western Montana. Maybe some things that ought to be done a little bit differently there. Sticking with the plumb line, but our methods probably should be a little bit different. Dealing, going between New York City and Central Wyoming, probably shouldn't have the same methods. We have the same gospel. And when I say methods, we still go out and preach the gospel, but people are different in New York. People are different in Wyoming. People are weird everywhere, right? So you have to adjust to that weirdness in certain aspects. Our message does not change, but how we do things. Experience is not the plumb line. Well, that's how everybody does it. That's how it's always been done. That's how Brother Humphrey's always done it. That's how Brother Demlo's always done it since he's been here. So we're just going to always do it that way. Well, if it's scriptural, I mean, if it says do it this way in the Bible, then that's what you do. But if it's something that can be changed, if Brother Demlo comes in one day and says, first thing out, we're going to take up an offering. First thing he says, we're going to take up an offering. There should be a church split over that. Okay, why? There's no problem taking up an offering, first thing. If he says today we're not going to take up an offering, we're going to put a basket in the back. And when you leave, put your offering in the basket. Is there anything that says you can't do that? No. So there's some things you can change up. But tradition is not the plumb line. Experience is not the plumb line. I mentioned on Sunday that sentiment is not the plumb line. How you feel. You are not the plumb line. Amen? So we can take this understanding and apply it to everything all the things that you take a stand for. And this is important for our children. When our children ask questions, Dad, why do we use the King James Bible? Just read it and shut up. Because that's what we always done. Guess what your child will not be reading in 10 years? Guess what your child will probably toss and maybe not replace with anything else? Dad, as you're driving to church, Dad, what's wrong with that church? And he's pointing to a praise center or a Catholic Church or Nazarene Church. Dad, what's wrong? Dad, my friend that goes there, what's wrong with that church? If we just give them our opinion, we can't go to the Word of God and say, well, son or daughter, according to God's Word, this is what a church is, this is what the gospel is, and they teach contrary to that. If we can't go to the plumb line and show them the standard, but the standard that we show them is just dad's opinion or the pastor's opinion, why is your opinion better than mine? Dad's opinion was fine while I was at home, but man, I'm my own man now. I'm 18 years old. I know what life is all about, and my opinion is just as good as dad's opinion, and you know what? It is. Go out to the rehab house. Any of their opinions is just as valid as yours, just as valid as mine. Unless my opinion is based on this. Why do we take a stand against parachurch organizations? Why do you take the stand that you do on baptism and the Lord's Supper? Well, just because. Well, what's the standard? Can you go to the Word of God and explain it and see it from God's Word that this is why we do things? Why do you take a stand for abortion? Why do you take a stand against it? You ought to be able to go to the Word of God and say this is the reason. This is the reason why we are on the most extreme position on abortion that the world thinks that we're extreme. But it's because of this, because of the Word of God. Why do you take a stand? What your position on homosexuality, your position on alcohol and drug abuse, your position on divorce and remarriage, your position on contemporary worship music, contemporary drama, dance drama in the church. We saw a lot of that down in Jamaica. Why do you take the position that you do? Is it based upon the Word of God? Can you go to the Word of God and say, this is why? When you build according to that standard, people might not like it, but they're not going to be able to sit back and say, it's crooked. People might drive by this building and say, that's the ugly paint color. I don't like the shape of that building. Don't like any part of it, but they're going to look at it and say, boy, look how crooked it is. Look at the roof is sagging. The walls are going opposite directions. It's just wrong. People can look at our opinions and be upset at our opinions, but can they look at it and say it's contrary to the Word of God? Or they can't back it up. It's all talk. They can't back it up. You need to be able to back it up. Why do you take a position against the universal church doctrine? Why do you take a position against the universal fatherhood of God? Why do you teach the doctrine of hell, the doctrine of heaven? Why do you teach about the Trinity, the blood atonement, salvation by grace? Why do you teach against baptismal regeneration? Why do you teach a six-day creation? Why do you teach against the gap theory or the day-age theory or theistic evolution or progressive creationism? Why do you teach against what's that doctrine we were talking about the other day, Brother Demlo? Millennial exclusion. What do you teach against that? Well, can you go to the Word of God and say, according to the standard, according to the plumb line, this is what God's Word says. Why do you send men off, or why don't you send men off to Bible college to be trained to go out as evangelists? Is there a reason? Can you go to the Word of God and point that out? Why do you practice or why don't you practice team missions? Why do evangelists need to go out for 5 and 6 years in order to raise $6,000 or $7,000 a month to go to Portugal to be a missionary? And they're on the road and they're $300,000 diesel pusher, traveling the nation, and they're trying to raise $6,000 a month so they can go, and they're out for 4 or 5 years. Why is that a good idea? Or why is that not a good idea? Why are foreign missions practiced differently than home missions? Why do we expect foreign missionaries to practice indigenous missions, but we don't expect home missionaries to practice indigenous missions? Why do evangelists provide a building, chairs, and piano, and hymn books, and everything else? Why do evangelists, and you can just dot, 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 and fill it in. All the things that you do, all the things that you send men out, and they're going to be doing things, why do they do the things that they do? What is the plumb line? What's the standard? That's the question. That's the question. Why does the church not pray and fast before the Lord and yet expect God to call men out of their body to send them out when they don't pray and fast and they don't do what we see in the Bible, yet they expect to see God do things that we see in the Bible, but they won't follow any patterns? Why is it? Why is it when Jesus said the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few? Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Why don't we do that? Our plumb line is the standard. And the last point, our plumb line is a point of reference from which everything can be measured. And this really kind of ties in with the last one. I was helping build a house for a retired builder on Whidbey Island. He had built down in Arizona for years, and he was retiring. This was his last house he was building for himself and his wife to retire in, and I'm helping him build it. And me and another carpenter were trying to fix something, and he's wondering what's taking so long. We're saying, well, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was about 3/16 of an inch off in a 6-foot level. So we're just trying to fix something so it was going to be right. He's like, that doesn't matter. 3/16 is nothing. You know, just let it go. Okay, it's your house. And later on, as we went into the house, and you go in the bathrooms, and the tiles are all lined up, and as it opens up, everything kind of resets, and they're like 3 inches off as the tiles start over again. As you look at the trim, and it comes around a corner, and the bottom of the trim meets up with about halfway on the other side of the trim. Does the house work? It does. But there was a lot of things that he said were, hey, that's fine. Let's not take the time to fix it. It's fine. And you can go to his house today and say, that's fine. That's fine. This is fine. So our question always has to be, what does the Bible say concerning this matter? In Romans 4, verse 3, Paul is dealing with an issue there in Romans 4. And he asks the question in relation to that issue, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. In Romans 10, verse 8, dealing with a separate issue, and he says, but what saith it? Talking about God's Word. What does God's Word say about it? In Romans 11, verse 4, but what saith the answer of God unto him? He's looking at an Old Testament example. He said, what does God say? What was God's answer? In Galatians 4, verse 30, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Here we're dealing with this issue, but what does God's Word say on it? In Romans 11, verse 2, it says, what ye not what the Scripture saith of Elias? It said, don't you know what God's Word says on the issue? In Mark 12, verse 10, Jesus says, have ye not read the Scripture? Why is all this talk going on? Why are you talking that way? Don't you know what the Bible says about it? James 4, verse 5, great question. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain? And with that particular issue, he goes on, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth the envy. But do you think that the Scripture saith in vain? Do you think that God gave us these 66 books, in particular the New Testament, for New Testament churches, do you think he gave us the New Testament in vain? We have all these questions about how to do missions. Well, what's God's Word say? Do we think that he gave us Acts and the epistles and we have the gospels and the work of Christ? Do you think that he gave us all those things in vain? Why do we have all these? Why can't we figure it out? Why can't New Testament Baptist churches figure it out? Because we're not following the scriptures. Because we're not following the Word of God. We have our tradition. We have the things that we've always done. We have Dr. So-and-so that says we ought to do it this way. We have this guy that has built up such a great church and he's such a great preacher. He says we ought to do it this way. And we're following all these other things instead of just going to the Word of God. So, well, what does God's Word say about it? Because Dr. So-and-so may be wrong. That church may be wrong. Isaiah 8 verse 20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If we cannot go to the Word of God and say, this is why we do this, this is why we're sending these men out, this is why we're going here, this is why we're preaching the gospel, this is why we're using these methods, this is the reason why, then we ought to figure out, should we even be doing it? And this applies to everything. Every book that you read, how does it line up with the plumb line? Every song you listen to, every song you sing, how does it line up with the plumb line? Every sermon that you listen to, including the one that you're hearing right now, how does it line up with the plumb line? Every tradition you hold, how you talk, the words that you use, how you dress, how you work, how you think, how do you determine what church to go to? You're going to be moving out of state and you're trying to find what, you know, you're looking for churches. How do you find the right kind of church? Well, what saith the scripture? You have a job opportunity. Should I take this new job or not? Well, what saith the scripture? So a brother's not going to say, thou shalt take this new job in Anchorage and move your family there. No, but there's principles in the Word of God that will deal with every single aspect of your life. Everything. So what say the scripture? How do I know who my future spouse should be? Or can I look in the Bible and see that marriage, that God doesn't necessarily have marriage for everyone? Maybe, God, do you even want me to be married? God, if you don't want me to be married as a single person, how should I serve you? Well, what saith the scripture? What career should I follow? What saith the scripture? What movie should I watch? What saith the scripture? How should I spend my free time? What saith the scripture? How do I train my child? He asked the question that Manoah and his wife did there in Judges. You know, how should I order my child? God, how do I train the child in the way he should go? God, I want my child to serve you when he gets older. How do I do that? Well, what saith the scripture? How should we train our men? Well, what saith the scripture? We have some men to go out. There's such a great work to do. We've got 10 men to go out. How should we spread those 10 men out to do the great work? When Jesus knew that there was a great work to do, and he was saying the harvest is great, the laborers are few, what's the very next thing it says that he did? He says he sent them out two by two. Wouldn't it have been better to send them out one by one? I mean, if there's such a big work to do, man, spread them out. No, he knew exactly what the job that was done, and he knew how to get the job done. It wasn't by spreading them out, it was by sending them out two by two. So where should we send men? Well, what said the scripture? Should we use a mission board to help with the finances? I mean, it's a big job. Well, what saith the scripture? Do we even have the ability? I mean, we're going to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Do we even have the ability to do that as a church? Well, what saith the scripture? It's a big task. How do we do it? What saith the scripture? The plumb line, if you've ever built, Brother Demlo, you spent 2 months building a house. In that amount of time, how many times do you consult the level? I mean, probably daily as you're working. You're always consulting the center. Why? Because you want the house built straight. In your life as a husband, how many times do you consult the plumb line? As a father, how many times you consult the plumb line? As a church member, how many times you consult the plumb line? If you want to build your life straight, if you want to build this church straight, if you want to build your missions program straight, you better consult the plumb line. I mean, it's better, and you, what's that phrase? Measure twice, cut once. How many have not done that before? And I wish I would have measured twice. I keep cutting this thing, and it's still not long enough. You just wish that you would have done it right the first time. Well, consult the standard, amen? Consult the plumb line. And you'll find, when you look back, you will say, wow, that's straight. Boy, this building sure looks better than the neighbor's building. Not to, you know, pat myself on the back, but this sure looks nice because I built it according to the standard. And we look around us and say, we can see families, we don't look at other families and say, well, God, I'm glad I'm not as one of them. I'm glad I'm not like that publican. We're not like that. But what a glory it brings to God when we can thank God, say, God, I thank you for giving me a standard, a blueprint to follow, and that, God, you saved my family from so many heartaches. You saved our church from so many heartaches because we followed your word. Amen. Brother Demo.